Our leadoff troll poll on Twitter is this. As you wake up this morning, we understand there's 2.5 weeks left in the season, but as you wake up this morning, who is your American League MVP? Is it Vladdy? Is it Shohei? Is it Marcus Semien? Is it someone else? And if it's someone else, we are demanding written, detailed explanations that are logical as to why. As you wake up this morning, Kevin, who would be your American League MVP?
Ohtani. He's a unicorn. He does it on both sides of the ball. We've never seen that before, and he does it at an elite level. Look, Vladdy, you know, if he went 10 for 10 with 9 homers, you might have to check Marcus' name, but until he does that, Ohtani's a unicorn. Marcus Semien's had an outstanding year, but Marcus Semien's not even close to what Vladdy Ohtani's doing. So he's, for me, not even in the same ballpark. But right now, for me, with, you know, what I used to try and do, and I know what routines are like and how hard it is to maintain that in a full season, and the conversations what I've had, even with the Blue Jays players, August, September, how hard and how much they've had to change what they're doing off the field to be better on the field. I can't imagine what Ohtani's had to do that. For me, you know, I hate to say this right now. It's a little bit closer, I would think, but it's really not even close.
Does it matter if the Jays get in the playoffs and obviously the Angels are out of it? Does that change things for you? Me and Scotty were talking earlier on just sports in general, how usually when a player's team is better, they go on a deep run, they make the play, their playoff team, it changes the way voters vote. Is that how do you see the fact that, say, Vladdy gets the Jays in and the Angels have no chance? Does that maybe change things a little bit?
Yeah, probably not. I would say, just because, again, we talk about that unicorn thing. You know, Ohtani, again, we don't even know how to talk about that. The things that he does offensively, hitting the 40 homer, plus 40, you know, all the stolen bases that he has and what he does on the mound. We've never seen anything like that. If Vladdy was to go some astronomical number of 9 for 10 with 8 or 9 homers, I guess maybe you start having the conversation that he could overtake Ohtani. But right now, I just don't know how you can look at Ohtani's numbers, what he's doing on both sides of the ball, and think there's any other MVP in baseball.
I mean, if my view on it, Kevin, and it ain't going to happen, is that there should be a Shohei Ohtani award for Shohei Ohtani. And if you don't want to call it the Shohei Ohtani award because he's got to win it, then call it the Babe Ruth circa 1919 award. For Vlad, like, Ohtani's not the Cy Young Award winner. That's going to be Robbie Ray or Garrett Cole, I think, at this point in the American League. But if you remember in 2012 when Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown and therefore the American League MVP, he was voted MVP, a lot of people were yelling and screaming about Mike Trout because of the peripheral statistics. Well, Vladdy leads baseball with 114 runs scored. He currently leads baseball with 171 hits. He leads baseball with 45 home runs. He is the American League leader in batting average .318, on-base percentage .407, slugging percentage .612 for an OPS, which also leads the league, of 1,018. His OPS plus, where the league average is 100, is 174. Ohtani's is 159, and Vladdy's got more total bases than anybody in baseball with 329. Like, I just, as you like to say, bold and in black on Baseball Reference. Yeah. His entire stat line is littered with bold black numbers, and he's playing a plus first base.
Is he 9-2 on the mound with a 3.36 ERA and 21 starts, 115 in the third innings with 136 strikeouts and a WHIP of 1.12? Absolutely not. Look, I'm with you.
But he's Vladdy's playing in the field every single day, and he's playing plus defense at an. I know they'd say it's not the most important defensive position, but it is with the way that this team throws the baseball across the diamond.
I guess. Look, you're making an unbelievable argument for Vladdy. For me right now, it's not going to happen. Like, we just never seen anything at this level with Ohtani, the way he does things, the way he's maintained velocity on the mound, the break on the secondary pitches, the split finger, all the home runs he's hitting, all the stolen bases that he gets, how easy he makes it look, how fast he is on the field.
Okay, so do you give it to him this year because he's a unicorn, or do we say next year, well, Shohei Ohtani's doing something nobody else can do, so he's got to win it again?
Yeah,
he's got to win it after that.
If Vladdy has another year like he has next year, offensively, then you're – look, Ohtani's – probably if he continues to do the things he's doing on both sides of the ball, is always going to be there when it comes to the MVP race, just because the conversations, again, that everybody has to have around Vladdy, Bo, George Springer, everybody that's an everyday player that looked tired in August and September. What are you doing offensively? What are you not doing? Are you taking less swings? Are you not working out as much? Are you giving yourself a mental break? Just think about what Ohtani's had to do to have the numbers that he has on both sides of the ball. I can't even imagine. For me right now, it's not even a conversation. I love Vladdy. Vladdy does things offensively that human beings are not supposed to be able to do, but he doesn't do it on both sides of the ball at an elite level.
Have you seen a home run hit like the one Vladdy hit last night? A 114 mile per hour. I've called it a piss rope for lack of a better description. I mean, that is... that's when you really have to go, and it's got solid stream. That thing was a 15-degree launch angle, straight shot over the left field wall. Kev, yeah, not many guys do that.
No, we saw Batista hit a couple of balls that cracked concrete in left center field a couple of times. Now, it was a little higher and a little further hit ball. The first pitch that Vladdy swung at against the lefty that was 97 miles an hour, that got him a little frisky, got him a little sexy. He understood how to get the foot down and time up that heater a little bit. And when he got it middle in on a 3-1 pitch, again, it's just everything that Vladdy does mechanically. And I just mentioned routines. He has adjusted his routine to make his bat quicker, and you can see it. You can see he's taking less swings. He's more thinking about how guys are attacking him in certain counts. It's a mental game for him now. It's not a physical game. And that, for me, is taking the elite player and adding that mental gain that he gets of just, okay, I don't need to go in and take 1,000 swings. I don't need to carry the team because George Springer's having up and down because he's injured. I don't need to do that. There's other guys can do that. I just need to be myself. I need to have a quick bat. How do I get that? And we're seeing things with Vladdy that you just, again, most human beings, I used to try and do these things. I was a decent hitter. The way he goes about his bats, the ball that comes off his bat is the sound. The backspin, how he hits the middle of the baseball is just unbelievable to all parts of the field. Most guys are trying to create backspin. He doesn't do that. He tries to just murder baseballs, and he hits it so hard and so much on the line that the park just can't hold it.
Yeah, and that's impressive, the 15 degrees and the fact that I don't even know how it got over the wall. What I think was more impressive was Bo Bichette's 9-iron. That has to be the lowest home run ever hit in the history of the game, because I don't even know what you call, like, what was that? How do you get contact on the ball that low, never mind a home run?
Yeah, well, I just mentioned the adjustments. If you've noticed, Bo's eliminated the leg kick. He did it after the Aiken first at bat. He just couldn't time up the lefty. He, for whatever reason, getting the foot down on time and everything that goes into trying to get the barrel out in front of the plate with that leg kick, he's just having an issue with it. And you've noticed he's eliminated that thing. Now it's two-strike approach, 0-0. It just allows him to be quicker. That allows him to be able to throw the back hip at the baseball. That allows his hands to have a little bit more direct path to the baseball, which, because he has tremendous bat speed and hand-eye coordination, he can do things like he did last night, which is the eyes. I've always said this, and I'll continue to say it. Your eyes tell the barrel where to go. That's what the great hitters do, and they're allowed to do that because of their lower half. And now, because he's eliminated that giant leg kick, a lot of the times – now his eyes are taking over and the barrel's going where it's supposed to go. He's an elite player. Look, we've had this conversation many times that if you're a Blue Jays fan and you're not excited, there's no help for you. Like, you shouldn't be a Blue Jays fan anymore. To just think that you are allowed to be able to watch Vladdy and Bo and George Springer and Teoscar Hernandez, hopefully, for the next 4, 5, 6 years, man, you're spoiled.
Well, yeah, and they've got some pitching too, right? I mean, Barrios going to be here next year. And how about Alek Manoah last night? Like, if you just looked at the box score and didn't really delve into it, Kevin, you see an 8-1 victory. You go, all right, Manoah pitched pretty well in a blowout game. Show me when it counts. Well, wait a minute. He was perfect through the first 4 innings, and it was a scoreless ball game. The Jays didn't put up a crooked number until the 4th, and then they blew it open in the 5th. Like, this guy was a jackhammer right out of the gate last night. That's as impressive as anything for me. And I think I've said this to you before. I'm trying to come up with a comparable here. A young kid comes up in the middle of a pennant race and contributes significantly. Juan Guzman, 1991, when Dave Steeb's back went out. But Juan Guzman had been a professional ball player, I think, since 1986 or 87. Like, he had logged hundreds of minor league innings. Alek Manoah hasn't done that. And, man, his slider last night was something. That's a start for me where it really stands out. And then you look at some of the other starts he's had, more or less, not exclusively, because there have been a couple of not-so-good ones in there. Mm-hmm. Manoah's a guy who will bend but often won't break. Last night, he was just dominant.
Yeah, well, he's got a sneaky heater. For whatever reason, that 92-93 plays up, whether it's deception, whether it has late life to it, whether he's got a really quick arm. Guys have trouble picking up the arm, the ball out of the hand, that kind of thing. Well, in his last Zoom call, he said an interesting thing to me, that he is learning how to read bats better at the big league level. Now, you add all the talent that he has. He's got three different sliders. He's got the one that looks like a little cutter that he can backdoor to a lefty. He can throw that into a righty. He can still strike that way. He can get an easy out that way. He's got the one now that he can manipulate and throw 12 to 6 like you saw last night. And he's got the one that goes 2 to 7 that he can backdoor, or he can eliminate a right-handed hitter with two strikes with that pitch. But it's just interesting to hear him talk about what it takes to see what you're seeing in front of you. You know, you talk about the Brett Gardner, and he wasn't convicted in throwing the fastball. He wanted to throw probably a changeup or a slider. I don't think his slider was working as good in the Yankees game as his changeup was, or his two-seamer was. He went with a front hip sinker. He didn't really want to throw that. He wasn't convicted in it. And he said, I learned from that. I won't do it again. That's what you're seeing from Alek Manoah. Blair asked me yesterday who I would rather have pitching the first game in the biggest series of the year. And I said, Alek Manoah. And he said, really? Not Robbie Ray or not? I said, yeah, Robbie Ray's great, and he'll do his part. But Alek Manoah is exactly, for me, what the Blue Jays need. He's intimidating. Blue Jays sort of need that. When you're in the American League East and you got to play the Yankees 19 games, you got to play the Rays 19 games, you got to play the Red Sox 19 games, you got to go to these parks and do that, you have to have a little intimidation factor. Alek Manoah brings that. He's 6'6", 250-ish. Right, doing all the things that he does, not afraid to throw in to both sides of the plate, has that devastating slider, can eliminate a really good team, which is exactly what he did last night. He's had to set the tone. He's a tone setter. That was why I answered it the way I answered it when Jeff asked me the question, and he's only going to get better. What if he adds a windup? You know, the finish thing is what he's had issue with, the finish getting it out in front, the mechanically with his glove hand throwing it at the target, not having that little alligator arm where he pulls it to first base. You can see when he hits the ground, he spins off it. What if he adds a windup? Does he need a windup? Would that give him confidence? Would that give him more deception? Could that get him deeper in games? It's sky's the limit for this guy just because of everything, the demeanor, his attitude on the mound. If you don't love that guy, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, so you said his fastball is sneaky good, right? And it's not, the velocity's really not there where you'd expect, right? 95, 96, 97.
Not consistently. Yeah.
So is it the fastball that makes, is it the fact that his fastball is so good that makes his slider so tough to hit, or is it the slider that makes the hitters guess, okay, I need to look at this for just a split, not even a split second. Do I need to see the release of this? Is it going to be a fastball, or is it going to be a slider? Like, are the hitters guessing? Is that what it is?
No, I think it's all of the above. I don't think they're guessing. I don't think they can guess against him. He's got a sinker or two-seamer that goes one way. It's not really a sinker. It's not going to sink down and away from somebody or down and in to a right-handed hitter. It's more of a running side-to-side kind of pitch, and it's the same velocity as the four-seamer. He tunnels all those pitches, like I just mentioned. Got three different sliders. He's got a changeup that he's changed the grip on. He's working on that a little bit better. You can see the mile per hour is really a good difference between his sinker or his two-seamer and his four-seamer. It's just, for whatever reason, it has really late break to it because, again, I think it's, they really work hard between starts on his finish. You saw last night, how many times did you see him spin off the ball when his front foot hit the ground? He did it a couple of times, but you could see as soon as he did it, he thought, I don't want to do that anymore, and now I know how to not do it anymore. And that's what I take away. Every time you listen to these Zoom calls, you know, it's real easy for a guy to go, oh, my slider was great. And then he says one little thing like, I'm competitive all the time and I'm getting better at reading bats. How many young guys who haven't been in the big leagues less than a year know how to do these things? Mm-hmm. It's special stuff.
What were the Rays, after the Rays were striking out there laughing a lot, was that was that just the hit Manoah's stuff was so good? Was that they weren't happy at the ump with some of the strike calls? What was that? Because it was like it happened more than once or twice last night.
Yeah,
they were kind of striking out.
Sure, it looked to me like it was a slider. It looked to me like they seemed like they were right on it. It had late break to it. He was missing a ton of barrels, and when you do that, that's sort of a laugh of we have no chance today. You fill out the game. You go up and have your at bat, and you live to fight another day, kind of thing. And the Rays are a good team. They got punched in the mouth. How many? If I would have told you that George Springer and Marcus Semien would have been 0-for-9 and left 11 guys on base against the Tampa Bay Rays, do you think they would have won? There's no chance. Yeah. You would have told me they would have won, but they did. They won 8-1.